us today, here presently, and on Facebook Live. We're here located at the Way Back to Pentecost Church. Our address is 945 R Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. And our pastor is Pastor Alfonso L. Bratcher. And I want to just thank the Lord for being here. I want to thank the Lord for even being saved, being baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're just going to start out by having prayer. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your tender mercy, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to say something for you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help us calm our nerves, calm our fears, Lord. You see the inadequacy. You see the fear, Lord. You see the nerve, Lord. Help us, Lord, to speak to your people, that they may be edified, that the sinner man might ask what he must do to be saved, Lord, and give us what to say. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless, anoint, meet us here. It means nothing if you do not come back, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord again. We're going to start, get to our lesson here. Pray for me. And it's lesson 8 for October the 25th, 2020. Our subject is sharing God's word. Our focus thought is we should actively share God's word through the ministries God has called us to. Our focus verse is taken from 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, 2nd verse. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The lesson text is 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, 1st verse to the 4th verse. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Also is found in Acts 19 chapter, 1st through the 6th verse, and the 24th through the 26th verses. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. 24th verse. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying, that they be no gods which are made with hands. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, sharing God's word. And I like this because, and excuse my unorthodox, but I'm just jumping right into it. I like this because sharing and telling were two different things to me. To share is to have something and to take portion or part of that something you have and to give unto others. And I thought about telling, like, what's the difference between telling and sharing? And to tell someone doesn't mean you actually are taking part or have part of what you're speaking. You can just blurt out anything and not be a partaker of it. And sharing God's word is utterly important. It is the foundation for anyone trying to get saved. For anyone to come in, they must first hear the word of God, and it's our duty to share that word. So here it is in 2 Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy, his beloved son. And it is said that this is shortly after he is martyred. So he's going to die. And when you read the 2 Timothy, you can tell that Paul is letting them know, man, I'm about to get off the scene. I'm about to be gone. And he's charging him. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Timothy, I'm admonishing you. I'm strongly letting you know God is watching. I'm giving you a charge, a mandate. You got to preach the word because God is watching. God is taking note of everything we do in this body. And everything we do for Christ will last. So he's charging him before God. God is watching, Timothy. I'm charging you. Preach the word. Preach the word. Let me slow down. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. What comes to me when I read that is you must be consistent. Whether it's popular, unpopular, whether you feel like it or not, you've got to remain faithful in preaching the word. Also, what came to me was be available. Sometimes you might not be getting called on or would you feel like I'm not in my preaching season or whatever, but you want to be studying to show yourself approved under God, because that's how you stay available. Thinking about the Revolutionary War, they had Minutemen who were always ready at a minute's notice. That's why they were called that. That means they had their weapon and whatever else they needed to prepare, to be prepared and right there so they could fight at a minute's notice. You know? And that's how we got to be when it comes to the Word of God. We got to be studying. We got to be praying. We got to be showing ourselves approved unto God. We got to be living, walking this walk so that we can be ready to give an answer to them that may ask the reason of this hope. And you're going to get asked that, you know. I look at how I'm on the job. When I used to work overnight at this gas station, I feel like for me being saved, I've been saved almost 8 years. The year or the 2 years I was overnight, I felt like I did most of my witnessing at that job. And if I wasn't reading my Bible, and of course I couldn't answer every question, but if I wasn't reading, praying, seeking the Lord, man, I would have left a lot of people without an excuse, or what can I say? They wouldn't be able to be responsible for what they heard, because I wouldn't have had nothing to give to them. I wouldn't have nothing to share with them. But I was praying during that time. I was fasting and reading my word, and a lot of folk were coming in. I don't know if they got saved today, but I was able to give them something. And when you're slack, not praying, reading your Bible, not studying, you're going to stumble and trip up, because a lot of these questions, I'm noticing they're getting harder. These folks are smarter than me when it comes to natural things, and it's like they're trying to debate these natural things with the word of God. And it's like, man, I really don't have an answer for you naturally, but you got to believe this thing first. Talking to the guy the other day, and he's letting me know, look, I don't believe in nothing I can't see. And so I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, well, yeah, this is going to be a hard conversation, you know? Because he that cometh to God must first believe, you know? And it's like, well, I'm going to give him what I have. And it's up to you. It's your choice. We talking about free will and all that. And I'm like, well, yeah, you have the free will to believe what I'm saying or not. It's up to you. But there is a God. And you can tell by nature there's a God. I got to be in the scriptures because Paul lets you know that nature even tells you. And in Psalms, it lets you know that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the earth shows his handiwork. So you know that there's a God by what you see around you. And it's my job because the world doesn't know. They're not well versed in the scriptures. They may know about Jesus in the manger just from stories they hear, but it's deeper than that. It's more to it than that. And it's my job to study, show myself approved so I can break that down. When you're sharing, you're feeding folk. You're planting a seed. And with that thought, let's continue. So be instant in season, out of season, be available. Be faithful, be consistent in preaching this. Reprove, rebuke, which are very similar in definition. Pretty much the same definition to me. Now this is my opinion. Rebuke is kind of like a little bit more instant than reprove. It's kind of like right on sight. If you like right as soon as it happens, I'm strictly criticizing what you did wrong. But it's correction. Yeah. Reproving, rebuking. This is the word of God comes to reprove, rebuke, to criticize that natural man. Hey, look, you got to stop doing that. That does not become Christ. That's not becoming Christ. You got to stop. Mm-hmm. Telling lies, that's not Christ-like. Okay. Stop it. The way you're walking is wayward from holiness. Yeah. You got to stop it. Okay. And that's all a part of the word. Timothy, preach this word. Gabe, preach the word. Let them know that sin cannot enter there. You can't go back to with God with sin in your life. Reprove, rebuke. The preacher came Wednesday night and told us that the lamps had tremors that came with the lamps. And when I think about reproof and reproof and rebuke, that's what it's doing. It's cutting the excess. Yeah. It's cutting the excess. And what you do with that is when they were circumcised for a token, they cut the foreskin of the flesh. And that to us is putting away this world, putting away this natural man, putting away Adam. All right? And that word comes to cut at our flesh. Cut at our flesh, right? And this is what's going to help us. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. To exhort is to strongly encourage, uplift, urge, push. And inspire. Inspire. We got to preach, we got to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Let folks know that you can make it. You can do this thing. You know? And reproof and rebuke has to be accompanied by that exhortation. Because after I'm beat up, after I'm feeling real down, I got to know there's still hope for me. I got to know that, hey, I may have fallen, but I can get up. That someone is there and that someone is Jesus to help me get up again and try this thing over again. Yeah. Now, what stood out to me was with all long suffering and doctrine. When you teach, when you preach, you've got to have long suffering. I'm learning this. My young men's group taught me a lot. Having that group just teaching them, admonishing them, trying to understand them, taught me I needed long suffering, patience. They're not thinking the way I'm thinking. Especially for an unsaved person. They're not going to think the way you think. And if you cut them down without having long suffering, you're going to do more damage. You're going to stunt their growth. And when you are exhorting, when you're giving the word, when you're sharing the word, you're planting a seed. The word of God is the seed. And it has to grow. And if you know anything about agriculture, it takes time to grow. It takes time. So after you plant that seed, look for good fruit to come forth. Look for that thing to grow. You know, don't, after you reprove and rebuke, get a mindset that, yeah, I told them. I told them right. I told them about themselves, you know, and they deserve to feel the way they feel, you know. You need long suffering. Long suffering is going to cultivate that thing. Long suffering is going to help that thing to grow, that seed to grow within them. Because we're trying to grow into the fullness or the full stature of Christ. Yeah. We're trying to grow up and to be Christ-like. Okay. The plan and purpose of God. This is very important in the plan and purpose of God. The theme to this quarter is that the purpose of God and how God wanted relationship. God started with one man, Adam. And he wanted relationship. And through him telling Adam that it's not good for Adam to be alone, I won't take it as God was saying I'm lonely, but God was saying I want to share my love with someone. So God created man and created man in his image and after his likeness. I began to think about that thing. Because we don't know God. God is too big. You know, you can't understand God. You can't understand. So what he did was, he breathed in man his spirit. He breathed in man. Man became a living soul. Man became relatable to God. Now we can begin a relationship. Imagine a relationship where the partners there do not understand each other. You will never grow. You will never have what you're in search of. When I married my wife, there had to be a common ground. There had to be a common ground. Because if we fought all the time, when are we going to come together? Where's the common ground, you know? The common ground could have been, hey, I like macaroni and cheese. You know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, not to be funny, but I like macaroni and cheese too. And then something gets stuck. When you start a friendship, a lot of times I say, oh, you like that too? Oh, I like that too. And then now we begin to learn more about each other. So God created man. He didn't have the same relationship with the animals, with the trees. He created man in his image and after his likeness. Now man has a brain. That now he can begin to understand God, if I may say, so that a relationship can be born. And through that man, the nations came, and God has been looking for a church. Through his failure, now you begin to see that God wants a bride. He wants a body. He created a body. That's in Jesus Christ. But now we make up that body, which is the church, which is the bride of Christ. And if we're going to be the bride of Christ, that means that's a relationship there that's happening. And so in the purpose and plan of God to have a relationship with man, we've got to share God's word to draw man in. And that purpose and plan of God, I wrote something down here. Pardon me. God's plan is that all men might be saved. Yeah. Adam failed. He severed that relationship. Yeah. And all through the Old Testament, he used the Israelites to show there's a way back to God. Yeah. There was a way back to God. But that way wasn't complete. Talking about the law. They failed in doing the law. Yeah. It couldn't be perfect. Through the flesh, through means of the flesh, it couldn't be perfect. So God had to come down in a body to be even more relatable. Look at the plan of God to even be more relatable. Now let me understand man in a fallen state. How can I bring him back unto me? So he gets in this body of flesh. He gets in the dirt and the muck. Perfection clothed in dirt. My. Hallelujah. Perfection and work clothes, as someone would say. Because now I've got to make this way back to God. Now I've got to close the gap that sin severed that relationship. And I got to close that gap. This is all the purpose and plan of God. I got to close it. So I'm going to get in a body. And we know what Jesus did. He paved the way. He died. He shed his blood. And he rose up again. And now we have a right to the tree of life. Now we can come back to God. Lord, Father, show us the way. We know not the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man come unto me, if any man come unto the Father, he's got to come by me, Jesus. So what's that way, Lord? It's in my word. How do we know the way, Lord? Read my word. And it's your job to those that are saved to tell them. These folks are not reading their Bibles. They're not reading the word of God. They don't even feel like they need the word of God. I'm living. The man told me, he said, man, look, we the ones that make change. We're the ones that do this and that. We've got that free will. He knew the free will part. But he said, we the one that make change. If we're going to do it, and I said, you somewhat right. You somewhat right. Because God is inviting you to come. But you have a responsibility to come. But it's a way you come. You don't come on your own terms. If someone invites you to a party and they have a dress code, you can't just come as you are. If you want to get in the door, there's something that has to change to meet the criteria. And we've got to preach that word. Come. Come to Christ. But you got to repent. In order to get into the door, you've got to repent. And that's preaching the word. So preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. And also on that, they're going to look at you funny. I mean, the sister came preaching hard. And that kind of message, your flesh don't want to hear that. Your flesh really don't want to hear that Jesus come, because you know what it wants to do? Enjoy itself on this earth. It wants to enjoy itself. And she preached that message. Prepare. I don't feel like we're preparing. That's the flesh. But if that word doesn't come, I don't know my state. I don't know where I need to come up at. So you got to preach the word. To share is to not be selfish. No one wants to, and I don't believe no one in their right mind wants to get up here and preach a hard message every single time. I don't believe that. That you want to just beat up on the saints. But if you got a beat up message, don't hold it in. And sometimes when we get behind the mic, we want to fine tune it. No, the word of God is offensive. He's the scripture lets you know that he's a rock of offense. It's going to hurt. You're going to preach this word and you're going to lose friends. They're not going to write out say that, man, I ain't your friend no more. Their actions is going to speak and say, man, I can't take that. You want to preach that word so hard. You want to preach it as the oracles of God that is given unto you. They're going to back up. If they don't want to be saved, they're going to back up from you. It's automatic. There's nothing you can really do when you're walking in holiness and try to keep those friends that don't want holiness. There's nothing you can do. It's automatic. Light and darkness are separate from the beginning. From the beginning, he divided the light and the darkness. They can't mix. Darkness cannot comprehend light. What am I saying when I'm on the job? They don't understand why Gabe doesn't cuss. Why Gabe doesn't look after the women. Does Gabe want to? Sure. But I'm on the light side. I cannot do that. The word of God has been preached. And I find myself in failure if I'm on the dark side. So I've got a responsibility in conforming to the Word of God. I cannot know my state unless the Word of God is preached. It lets you know. Let's read it, as a matter of fact. I think that's Romans. He says, Romans 10th chapter 14th verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We've got a job to do. Timothy, you got a job to do. And where Timothy's name is, you put yours. You may not get it behind the pulpit, but in walking this walk and living this life, you're preaching. And they're going to ask. You've got to open your mouth. With living the life, there must be an opening of your mouth. You've got to break bread. People are hungry and don't know what they need to eat. They don't know. The devil has set up this whole thing where they're blinded. Don't be mad at them for being blind. Preach the word. Tell them about Jesus. We need more compassion. We're not here to crush folk. We're here to help folk. I want you to be on the right side. I want you to make it to heaven with me. I'm going somewhere. Come with me to my Father's house. So how are they going here without a preacher? He told Isaiah, who shall I send? Lord, send me. You know what happened to Isaiah? Isaiah had to be clean. The word had to be first preached to Isaiah. He had to be cleaned up. Now you are available. Now you are able to spread this word. I talked to my class and said, can anybody share the word of God? Well, anybody can talk about the word of God. But if we're going to say that sharing is the first partake, then everybody can't share the word. Everybody can't break down and give. If you're not saved and you witnessing, I've witnessed before. I don't know if I can call it witnessing, but I've talked about the word before unsaved. It's different. It's different. The conviction, there's no conviction. If they had asked me, they could have just asked me, well, you saved. And, you know, that would have blew everything up on the board. No, I'm not saying. If this is so good, why are you not saying? You understand what I'm saying? So to partake, now I'm a witness that Jesus saves. Oh, yeah. When I got saved, Acts 2:38, I was solid with that. If I don't believe nothing else, I believe Acts 2:38. Repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of. I did that. I repented, and God was true to his word. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Okay. I can preach that now. When I say preach, I'm not saying I just got to get up here and preach, but I can tell that. Yeah. I'm a witness of that. This is a fact. Yeah. And from that day, in my mind, I was like, well, I know this word don't contradict itself. So it's got to be, you know, the word's got to be right. Whatever I read, Genesis through Revelation, it's got to be true. I did this one thing, and this is a fact. And if God, there's no confusion in God, oh, man, this word has got to be right. And I'm proving that by walking. I'm proving that by walking. And experiencing the word of God. Yeah. So, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And that goes back to, you've got to partake. You've got to repent. You've got to come into the body of Christ. Yeah. then God can send you. God can send you out. In Hebrews, it lets you know that, I'm going to just turn that because I don't like this quote. Hebrews 5. So, in Hebrews 5, it tells you, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. That was Jesus. Yes. Jesus got right in the mix, yes, right in the midst of our mess, so that he can relate to it, yes, and know how to have compassion, because compassion is what's going to lift me. What the songwriter say? Yes. Love lifted me. Yes. If it wasn't for love, yes, thank you, Jesus, yes, to lift me. Yes. It's easy to look on that dirty man while you cleaned up and looked down on him. But when you've been dirty yourself, there's another kind of feeling, or your heart is different. You can say, man, you can be better. I'm a testimony. You can be better. And it says, and by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh dishonor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was earned. Yeah, you just not jumping up. And you're not, even after you get saved, you're not just jumping up, running out there on a mission to preach. Wait for the calling of God. Study to show yourself approved. Be faithful in that. And it's easy because that zeal, you on fire, you're free. Man, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I began to jump. I began to jump because I felt like I was free. I don't even know how to describe it. When you get saved, you don't even realize you was bound. And I began to jump. Like, I felt like I could really jump too. Like, that's another thing. You know, I play basketball and all that too. And I really was jumping, and I was thinking about that thing like, man, you really don't know you bound when you in sin. And you got to remember, I was raised in here. I heard the word. And honestly, I like the word. You know, I read it sometimes while I wasn't saved. No, I'm just saying, you know, I ain't had a problem. But with the word, but I just didn't want to be saved. Just didn't have a mind to be saved yet. Just wanted to wait on that. I wanted to put that on hold. But God began to churn something within me. He gave me the old rugged cross. If I had to pick a favorite hymn, that might be it, because that's when I came in. The old rugged cross. He began to tell me how much he loved me through that song. And I couldn't get it out of my mind. I cry about it all the time. I have no shame in that. The old, I will cling to the old rugged cross. It comes from the word of God. You know, me and my wife was talking, and this is sad, Bob. We was talking, she asked me some questions. You know, I got the answer through singing a couple hymns. Honestly. And I'm not here to debate hymns and other music. I'm not here to debate that. But the song, the scripture lets you know, sing songs, sing spiritual songs. Songs deriving from the word of God. And that's what it is. When I begin to sing that song, it's so related to the word of God that the question from the word of God, it made Holy Ghost sense. It made Holy Ghost sense. And that's why you need to sing songs from the word of God. They edify you. They will make you into what you ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. And did I finish that point? So you're not just going about this on your own strength. God is calling you. And when you've accepted the call, repenting of your sins, this is all his plan. His plan is for you to be saved. And I was thinking on today, they have this they called it the gospel of inclusion. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure if anybody's heard of that, the gospel of inclusion. Yeah. Well, I think it's like the ecumenical movement type of thing. Mm-hmm. But they got it wrong by including without responsibility. Ooh. Everyone's included. He died for the world. You were included in that. He died for you, but now it's a responsible thing that's happening. Now I've got to accept that I got the invitation, I can choose to come or not. That's the problem with what they're preaching, is you're not in the body just because God died for you. You've got to die. You've got to die. You've got to reciprocate my love. If I'm just loving on my wife and I don't see no signs of coming back, I'm a one out. As a man, I'm a one out. Nothing's coming back to me. I'm frustrated with that. As people, we understand that. Friendship, marriage, whatever it is, if I'm giving, 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 and there's nothing coming back, I'm one away from that. You're not my friend. Somebody said, if you're the one that's always texting me, they don't, nobody texts you, you should think about them being your friend or not. I just read that. But it makes sense. It makes sense. You know, it's like, man, why I always got to reach out? Why are you not reaching out? And you know what? And I'm horrible with that. So maybe I'm not. I ain't showing myself some friend. I'm horrible with that. Because I be busy. I got to make time, though. And that's what God is saying. I died for you. I love you. But I'm not accepting you any kind of way. This is preaching the word of God. You're lying to people if you're saying you're good. Oh, yeah, you come just like that. You're good. There's no change. You're lying to them. You're being selfish. That's not sharing the word of God. You're doing more hurt than good. They feel good. Oh, I'm included. Yeah. But seriously, you got to repent. You got to be willing to give up that lifestyle. That's what God is looking for, because he's going to work that out of you when you come in. Your career, whatever you want to be in life, you got to be willing to put that on the fire. And a lot of times that's the holdup. I'm not sold out for this. I know you love me. I know you died for me. But I'm not sold out yet. And you're going to be held up, because that's a lack of faith. That's a lack of faith. You might go on to be something great being saved. We don't know that. That's up to God. But you got to be willing to put that on the line. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? It sounded to me, that's just going to happen. When he's telling Timothy this, there's going to come a time they're not going to hear it. But you got to remain faithful in preaching the word of God. God knows why. God knows who's going to be saved. And if you do not be faithful in that, the blood might be on your hands. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. I forgot to put the verse down, so let me find it. Pardon me. So look, he lets them know. Then whosoever heareth, this is Ezekiel 33rd chapter, 4th verse. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Mm-hmm. That means he heard the word. That means the word was given. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't responsible. He wasn't accountable. Or he didn't take accountability from the word that he heard. So the blood is going to be upon his own head. And you're going to be fine that who's that blew the trumpet. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Do you see how important it is that if God gives you something, you gotta share that thing? I'm not gonna be too specific, but I had a family member I had to tell something very hard to. And I was at work, and the Lord dropped it in my spirit, heaven. And I debate sometimes whether it's supposed to be said to him or I'm just supposed to pray. But you got to walk with the Lord and know the Lord and know how he's dealing with you, because sometimes the way it was burning on me, I had to get it out. I had to let him know. It was like a warning. And I told him, and I didn't want to because I felt like I was killing a dream of theirs, if you understand what I'm saying. And, you know, with the love I had for that family member, I didn't want to, you know, cause demise to their dream. You know, I didn't want to share that. It was hard. It was very hard. But you know what I did? I did it quickly before I didn't do it. I did it quickly before I didn't do it because not just selfishly I ain't want the blood on my hands, but for them. Lord, I don't know why you're telling me this for them not to go down that road, but I don't want harm to happen to them. And when you begin to have that mind, that's the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 lets you know. Look not on your own thing. Look not also on your own things, but look on the other things of others. This is the mind of Christ. Bowels of mercy. We've got to get this thing in us to where the love is growing. Love is growing. Love is God. So that means God is growing in me. That love is going to cause me to warn you. So it's very important that we tell the word of God, that we preach his word, that we let the people know you need to be saved. And if you're saved, you need to come up higher. It's imperative. For they're not going to always want to hear. We don't know who those are. And if I ask myself, why, Paul, why are you charging him to preach that word? When you look at the third chapter, that last verse, it says, let me just read 16 verse 2 of 2 Timothy 3rd chapter 16 verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He needs to be equipped. He needs to be ready to go out and minister and feed. He needs to be thoroughly furnished. That's what that word furnished means. Equipped. Unto all good works. So that's why we got to preach to the saints and to the sinners. The saints, they need to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So let's go to Acts. 19th chapter. Here it is. Paul said it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. When you see that word certain, it's talking about a specific subject. And these specific disciples were disciples of John. We find that out because he asks them a question. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And that caused Paul, you can see how Paul has been studying. He was ready. When they said, we ain't even heard about this Holy Ghost, so what was you baptized? How were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. This is how we know that they're disciples of John. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. He didn't tear them down. He ain't beat them up. He saw that they needed more. They needed to know the more perfect way. John came to a stop. If you look at the Old Testament, and the boards that made up the temple, what was the first building called? The tabernacle. They had bars that ran through those five of them. Four of them came short. Now, I don't know the revelation on this, but it just comes back to my mind. One of them went all the way through. And I just think about Jesus every time I see that or read that. And that's what Paul was letting them know, that there was someone greater than John. John was great. The scripture lets you know he was great. But they said that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. It's that saying something. You in the family of God. You are no longer a friend. You ain't in the friend zone. You family. It's blood ties now. You understand? So he began to expound unto them. He probably let them know. John told Jesus. John told the people, I must decrease and he must increase. So we knew by that there was someone greater. He's taking over now. And that's Jesus began his ministry. He's taking over. This is what we're talking about now. John baptized unto repentance. Unto repentance. That's not all the way through. That has a stopping point. And Jesus came on the scene. I like what Pastor says. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. This is John preaching. And Isaiah 40th chapter lets you know he's prepared the way of the Lord. The voice that cried in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. He was front running for Jesus. His time will fade out. Now when Jesus steps on the scene, the king is here. The great one is here. So now it's Jesus' turn. This is what he began to preach. And when the Jews rejected him, he opened the door to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? Now I can come in. Now his bride can begin to get formed. That was the foundation of his bride. He died. He taught them disciples along the way. And he died. And he said, you know what? Now it's your turn. And you know, when I was looking at I charged it, when I look at how Paul was writing to Timothy, it's like he was passing on the baton. He was passing on that baton. And I think about the older saints, because some of you might feel that way. They're gone. I'm here now. It is my job. It is my duty to carry on. Though the summons preach the message, maintain. Maintain. Right. Elder Henry Sanders said, if I change, you better not change. Maintain. Right. This is what we believe is right. Yeah. Mama, shut my mama. This is right. Don't change. The word of God shall never change. Right. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Yeah. Preach this word. I like what the elder said one time. If I had the word in my heart, I'm not going to pass away. Preach the word. Plant that seed in somebody so they didn't even have a chance.
They might enjoy what you're going to enjoy. Don't be selfish. What we have is so valuable. And we squander it a lot. You know how we squander it? Because we don't walk in it. We don't practice what we preach. And we squander it. Gabe squanders it. But this word that created the heaven and the earth, it formed everything, the word of God. And nothing started until God said. Nothing started. Nothing was moving until God said. And when God said, then light came. Speak, because light needs to come in somebody's dark soul. Their heart's dark, but give them light. Preach to them. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You withholding faith. They need to hear the word of God, saint and sinner. Because sometimes as saints, we get in dark places. We get down, we get discouraged. But preach the word. And the Spirit of God is in us, and he speaks. I counsel with my own self. I believe that when we speak about God amongst each other, God is counseling with his own self. And you know what happens? We get edified. We walk away better, stronger, sharpened, able to do the will of the Lord, able to fulfill and work out God's plan. He's using us as instruments in his purpose and his plan. And let me get back to John. Paul talking to the disciples of John. Look. John let you know that there's going to be one coming after me who's preferred before me, whose shoes latched I am unworthy to unloose. I've been dealing with that thing for a while. And you know, that's speaking to the way of the Lord. Because the feet is relative to the mind. When the mind tells you to go, your feet start going. And it's talking about the way. So when John is saying, I'm not even worthy to unloose the shoe latchet, his way is better than mine. You got to stoop down to unloose that shoe latchet. That's a bowing movement. He can't even do that. So we know that the baptism of John wasn't everything that they needed. Psalms, as you know, 18th chapter of Psalms. And I'm coming to a close. 18th chapter. Get up here, you nervous, you can't even find a verse. The 18th chapter talking about his ways is perfect. As for God, the 30th verse, 18th chapter, his way is perfect. There's no changing of this word. There's no changing of his way, his purpose, his plan. You either fulfill it or you're out of it. The word of the Lord is tried. It's proven. It's been tested. Yeah. Jesus did the groundwork and rose up again. Mm-hmm. It's proof. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. But I really want to ask for God. His way is perfect. Yeah. His way is able to make you perfect. Yeah. What is this way? The way of holiness. Yeah. The way of holiness. Yeah. Holiness without which no man shall see God. Walking up the King's highway. That's a holiness road. Yeah. Able to make you perfect. What do you mean, holiness gate? Take off the world. Take off the world. Where's the loose garment? The preacher's coming. He's trimming. He's cutting at those loose garments. He's hitting them. I need to take them off. Take them off. Put it to the side. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to them that ask the reason. I probably butchered that scripture. But the gist of it is, make the Lord single in your heart. Meditate on him. You know, the devil is really messing with that meditation. I mean, that thing is great. My eyes is open to how important it is. Well, you know what happens? He got us so busy. He got us so busy. We can feel the rush even in our prayers. Well, I need sleep. I got to get up early. And we rush. So you know you ain't meditating. You brushing your prayers. You know you're meditating. You know? And sometimes you got to find time. When I'm in the car, I try to turn off the radio. And look, this is not Gabe because Gabe just thought of this. Somebody preached the word. And I said, you know what? I'm going to grab hold of that. You want to give me a piece, a portion? I'm going to grab hold of that. I'm going to cut off the radio. I'm going to try to meditate while I'm driving. And hopefully it can grow and grow and I can sit at home and not be entertained and meditate. So we're trying to get there. In my closing, preach the word of God. Whether it's a joy message, whether folk gonna get mad at you, preach it. But live it. Walk it. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And see, the Lord is going to help you. The Lord is going to establish you when you're proven unto him. Because he know you're not being fake about it. He know that you're sincere. Be sincere. Preach the word of God, no matter how hard, no matter how nervous you are. And some of us are shy. I'm not one of those ones that's just going to walk up to somebody and ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you first believed? It's not my makeup. And you know, more times, I'm looking for, Lord, you got to open the door. And you know, I don't know if I use that as a crush or that. I'm learning. But through my fear, through my nervousness, timid, deem God's word more important than your feelings. And share the word of God. Someone needs it.
Yeah.
And that is my conclusion. And in my conclusion, if you want to be saved, God has made it simple. Repent. Turn away from sin. Turn away from your idolatry. That you had before God. I don't know what I had before God. Pray about it. He came to Cornelius. Cornelius wasn't saved. And he showed him, hey, look, I'm going to send a man. And God has sent his man. And these last days, he's spoken by his dear son. That's the church. The church have taken that role. He's preaching to you. Repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name. There is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's got to be done in Jesus' name. The water does not turn into the grave unless it's in Jesus' name. So we're going to baptize you in Jesus' name, and we're going to pray that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost. You're going to have troubles, but it's going to be a good life. It's going to be a life of hope, a life where you can fulfill God's purpose for you. And what is more satisfying than that? There's nothing to fulfill your purpose in God. So repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name, and you can call, and we can come down to the church and baptize you. If you want to call, the phone number to the Way Back to Pentecost Church is 202-387-7251, 202-387-7251. Be blessed in Jesus' name. And we're going to close out with prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you allowed us to say today, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us not only be hearers of your word, but doers.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, to those that were hearing, grant them faith.
Yes.
Lord, for without faith, it's impossible to please you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We need faith, Lord.
Yes,
help them to receive that word, let that seed grow up,
yes,
and Lord, establish them.
Right.
Help them to be ministers unto thee.
Yes,
those that are saved, build them up, yes, strengthen them, Help them to correct where they have failed. Those that are unsaved, Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost on today in the name of Jesus. Bless us on our way as we dismiss from one another. Keep our minds stayed on thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.